Happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus, and this past weekend, we jumped back into our series called Well Known, looking at John 4. One of the things that I thought about just as I was doing some research for this series, there's just no book of the Bible that we've talked about more than the Gospel of John over the last 22 years. We've done a number of thematic series and chapter series, and so of all those series and messages we've done out of the Gospel of John, I don't know that there's any chapter that we've referenced more than chapter 4. And the reason is, we've said it every week, that one conversation can change everything, that we've really been trying to emphasize this year that conversations with God about His Word, us speaking to Him about it, Him speaking to us through it, really are foundational for our spiritual health and development. And so this week, the woman at the well that we've addressed, the woman from Samaria, there was this civil war between those two countries, but Jesus intentionally went there for a missional purpose. So one of the things that we talked about was making space for people. We have two services right now at the Lewis Center campus that are practically full. And so we're talking about in the fall on August the 23rd, launching an early service and 8:15 service to make room for folks who have maybe sports going on, families who have little ones who are already up early, maybe some more seasoned people. I'm not going to call them older. We're just going to say seasoned people like me who are up earlier anyway, or maybe it's a missional opportunity for you to attend that service, just to open up a seat at the 9:30 service. We intentionally take steps, just like Jesus intentionally went to this region. The woman immediately throws up cultural barriers, gender barriers, ethnic barriers. But Jesus, He compares human thirst to spiritual thirst and physical water to living water. He goes to this town, Sychar in Samaria, to see this woman that everybody knows and nobody knows, that everybody sees and nobody sees. It's very easy to look at her and say, well, you know, her problem is lust or promiscuity, or maybe because of cultural constructs, because men had leverage in their culture, right? She used her body to broker a deal to receive care, and that certainly has consequences. Or maybe she has this need for approval from men, and certainly that has repercussions. But like we said last week or 2 weeks ago, Jesus is not in Samaria to shame her. He's there to save her. So whenever He says to her, you've had five husbands, and this man you're living with now, number six, is not your husband, you can feel the tension. Her response to that is, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. It's amazing that she looks at a stranger who's never seen her, met her, doesn't know anything about her, who tells her whole romantic life, and her response is, maybe you're a prophet? Yeah, maybe he's a prophet. She immediately deflects to worship our father, say, you know, worship at this mountain, which is Mount Gerizim. Your father, say, Jerusalem. So, you know, avoidance is always easier than assessment. It's always easier to deflect than it is to reflect. A lot of times people will say, well, I'm not perfect, but, right? And the but always is intended to turn that another direction. And again, this is why daily interaction with God's Word is so critical, right? So that we can personally go to God and in humility and say, okay, God, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to adjust in me? Because what Jesus says to her is, listen, woman, the hour is coming, and you know, and now is, where we're not going to worship on this mountain or on a mountain in Jerusalem. Like, we worship what we know. You worship what you do not know. So our problem is not our spiritual position. It's not what church we're part of, or what civic group we're part of, or even what parachurch ministry, right? It's not our spiritual position. It's our spiritual posture. Jesus says to her and to us, you worship what you do not know. And I think that's important, because last week, you know, we talked about the Jeremiah chapter 2 passage, where Jeremiah says, you know, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out for themselves broken cisterns that hold no water. So when we live in that avoidance mentality, when the problem is always you and this group and those people, and it's always us versus them, it ends up, it's an empty bucket, right? There's, you just keep dividing and dividing and dividing, and your world gets really, really small. You know, it's definitely okay to say we should see things clearly as right and wrong, as long as you remember that the problem under the problem is a worship problem, which means we're all part of the wrong. That's part of what St. Augustine said about this passage, the early church father. He said, we are all this woman. The second part, I think, is that, you know, when we do that, our life just has so many holes in it. We try and try and try to keep plugging holes, right? But Jesus says, man, the Father wants people who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth, not spirit or truth, spirit and truth. That's what worship is. And everybody does it, right? We say that all the time. Everybody worships. It's just, what are you worshiping or who are you worshiping? Because the thing that you're worshiping either will distort your life or bless your life. One of those two things. So as you worship, as you ascribe ultimate value to things, right? We're reminded about spirit and truth. Jonathan Edwards, when you talk about spirit, Jonathan Edwards called these affections. They're not just fleeting emotions. These are the deep abiding inclinations of the heart. He called them the active, energetic, and powerful movements of the will. These are the feelings that move us to spiritual action. It's not just singing on Sunday. Certainly singing is worship. But worship that doesn't leave the building isn't biblical worship, right? We need to worship throughout the week. And because like this woman, a lot of us are thirsty. I think for some of us, we thought, you know, getting in shape, like losing fat, gaining muscle, like that would do it. But we still fight the comparison battle. We're still thirsty. Or you thought that getting that promotion, that would do it. But it's new job, same you, still thirsty. Maybe you thought that getting married or having children would answer that bell, but we're still thirsty. Maybe you thought more would do it, more house, more followers, more travel, but we're still thirsty. So the woman, at the end of the conversation, she tries to deflect one more time. She says, look, I know Messiah is coming. And Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. What a powerful moment. Powerful moment for her. Essentially, what Jesus is saying to her is, listen, you've had five husbands. You tried this. You tried marriage five times. Now you're living with the sixth. Essentially, what I hear Jesus saying is, listen, I'm the seventh man. Seven being the number of completion. Doesn't that track, right? Jesus is saying, I'm the one that you've been looking for. And so it's this woman, a foreign female outcast, not a Pharisee from Judea, not even one of the disciples. This woman becomes the first person to whom Jesus reveals himself as Messiah in his adult ministry. Here's the thing, though. He didn't only come for her. He's come for you and me. So I'm going to pray that into our day, our recognition of him as Messiah, the anointed one, the only one who's deserving of our worship. And then I want to give you the opportunity to pray. Jesus, as we come to you today, you're the one and only. You're the seventh man for us. You're the one who completes our lives. God, forgive us for broken, empty buckets, broken cisterns that hold no water. God, we are coming to you, running to you. You alone have the words of eternal life. And so we submit, surrender joyfully our lives to you today. Now you take the opportunity to pray.